Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill. We are back. It's 13 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our good friend Mark Allen is our guest this hour. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's the president and co-founder of New World Library. He has written several books, including Visionary Business and Entrepreneur's Guide to Success, which he and I have talked about quite often on this show, and as well as the book I'm holding in my hand, which is one we have talked about on the show, but not as much, A Visionary Life, and that's what we're going to spend some time with today. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us. And folks, if you'd like to join us and talk to us about anything at all, if we strike a chord with you, if we hit a nerve, if we strike a chord and you'd like to call us and tell us that, if you have something you'd like to share with us, something that means something to you, something we've said that means something to you, or if you've learned something that you think that others would like to learn from, 888-822-8255. If we strike a nerve and it's something that you didn't like, that's okay to call too. We don't mind, do we, Mark?
No, that's always the most interesting.
Sometimes it is. 888-822-8255. Mark, one of the things that I told my audience at the beginning of the segment, and they've heard me say many times before, is that you join us. When you join us, we talk about how to maintain some balance, how to establish and hopefully maintain some balance in our lives, and how to help us understand how to be more successful in life, and how to help us understand that success has a lot of different definitions. And when I talk about success, I'm not talking about stuff and money. Success to me is a lot different than that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I realized thinking about it, it involves having stuff, but it involves also, it's doing, being, and having. It's what we do with our lives,
mm-hmm.
and who we are as people, as well as what we have.
But one of the things that we're going to talk about today is how do we blend all that into this, the way we make a living, the way I make a living, the way you make a living, and presumably the way most of the folks who are listening to us make a living, and that's in business.
Yeah.
What are we in business for?
Right. I'm so glad you're zeroing in on that, because I think that's such a great question. I know with me at first, and I assume most people at first, have to focus on the business and on getting it going and on the work. But very early on, I heard that phrase, work smarter, not harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I've reflected on that for years, and I always get back to it. How can I do this smart and rather than just hard? Because just working hard, maybe it's okay for a short period of time, but at some point, we've got to work smarter, because working too hard you just end up burning out, and in the long run you can't work hard.
Well, but the pace of our world and the nature of the marketplace sometimes prevents us from working harder, and it just compels us to work harder. How do we resolve that? How do we balance those two things?
Yeah, fortunately I had a few mentors that weren't working too hard. When I look at their lives, I mean, a couple of them had achieved a level of success already, probably through a lot of hard work, but then they could just cruise. Their investments were making the money. They didn't have to put in the 60-hour weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And but I also was with a very successful businessman and saw him build an empire, and he used that phrase, work smarter, not harder. And he did not work too hard. He even took it easy in the mornings, which is something I learned from him and something I do.
Is that Bernie?
This was actually a different guy that I had met that I gave Bernie some of his words, actually.
Bernie is a guy that Mark talks about all through the book, A Visionary Life, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of his mentors.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk to us about this guy.
Oh, he was an amazing guy. He had reached a point where he wasn't working too hard either. His office literally was a suite in a hotel, and he just showed up there when he felt like it, and he just invested in other businesses and then coached. He coached us, and he was a great coach. And every meeting with him was 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the business aspect would be 15, 20 minutes, and he would tell stories. And I would learn things from his stories. He was more of a storyteller than a driven businessman. He was definitely not a type A personality at all.
But Mark, people are listening right now, and they're saying, okay, fine, stories are fine, but, you know, I'm trying to make a living here. I'm in the trenches. I'm trying to dig this business out of the dirt here. And, you know, maybe from nothing, maybe from absolutely zero. And you know, either my business is consuming me or I want to make sure that it doesn't consume. How can I be successful and not be consumed?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a question we all have to ask ourselves. I know at first I remember my wife saying that I was being overwhelmed by the business at first. And I remember saying, well, I'm just learning. I was not only starting the business from scratch, but I knew nothing about business itself, so I had to learn. I had to read a business textbook and talk to all these people and study business plans and things, and as well as do the business. And I did work hard at first, but I always had it in my mind that I'd fortunately heard this great affirmation that we talked about before I started, and I kept affirming every morning, I'm going to do this in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. And I kept affirming that. And the word sank in, and I even realized in the long run, it's better to do things in an easy and relaxed manner. You have a lot more energy left at the end of the week if you can work in a relaxed manner rather than in a stressful manner.
One of the things that you talk about is how to be fulfilled in what we do.
Yeah.
And you use Maslow's term, self-actualization.
Right.
Incorporate that concept into our discussion.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we ask, what are we doing this all for? What are we in business for? What's the reason for it all? And I think every person has a different answer for that.
It's different for everyone, isn't it?
Different for everyone. So everyone has to ask it and think about it. And it might take a while to reflect on it.
Is it possible to just come up with the different reasons why you're in business, why you feel like you're doing what you're doing, and not worry about the order at first, and then come back and put them in a proper order?
Sure.
Stand by. I want to talk to you about that question when we come back. I want to get some things down on paper for myself and for the folks who are listening. It's 20 after the hour, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend Mark Allen, the author of A Visionary Life. My special guest is our good friend Mark Allen, the author of A Visionary Life. He's also the author of a book that has become one of my favorites. I like both of these, but A Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success, has become one of my favorite books. And Mark, I want to congratulate you on both of these books.
Thanks a lot.
Tell us where our audience can find them.
Well, they should be in your local bookstore, or they're Amazon.com, or we do have an 800 number, 800-972-6657.
Okay.
Or 1-800-97-BOOKS.
All right, now, and they can buy both of these and your other books there at your website, at your 800 number.
Right.
And do you have a website?
Yes, we do, actually.
Give it to us, please.
www.nwlib.com for New World Library.
Okay.
nwlib.com. Yeah.
Okay, good. When we took the break, we were talking about, I wanted to develop a little bit of an action plan, a little bit of a, which may be in light of the context of our conversation, maybe an action plan is a little too aggressive, but I wanted to develop a tool that we could use to try to find out what our self-actualization is, what our fulfillment is. And I may not be Maslow might not be too happy about the way I'm doing this, Mark, but what I'm thinking of is,
I think he'd be delighted.
what I'm thinking of is this fulfillment list. Let's come up with a fulfillment list for ourselves, and let's write down all the things that we are doing what we're doing. I do this in my mind sometimes. When things close in on me, I try to think about all the things that I'm doing this for, all the things that make me happy, all the blessings in my life. So write down all the things. It might be, and what I want people to do, Mark, is not to worry about the order. Just write them down as they come to your mind. Don't worry about the order. If the first one's money, write down money.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the second one's a new car, write down a new car. If the third one's a membership at the country club, that's fine. But somewhere in there, we need to be putting in there our spouse, our children, our community, our faith, our spirit, our health. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You got some others you can think of?
Yeah, some are self-fulfillment in some way. Like, do we have some real creative impulse or desire?
Yeah.
That isn't getting acknowledged?
This is strictly for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine to have money in there. I often say there's a great contradiction in money, which is spelled out beautifully in one of my favorite books called Letters to My Son by Kent Irvine.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great chapter on money. And he says, money rules our lives. You can't say it doesn't. We have to deal with it. It's very important. Yet, on the other hand, money has nothing to do whatsoever with anything that's truly important in life.
Well, so you've heard me say this enough, and my audience knows that when I said put down money, go ahead and get that out of the way.
Right.
What I'm talking about is these whatever pops into your head, I don't want you to be ashamed or think that you failed if you wrote down money first.
Right.
Let's put that down, because all we're trying to do now is just get your list down on paper.
Right.
Then, now what we want to do, now that you've got everything down on paper, and if you come back later and you think of something else, it's okay, write it down. It doesn't matter if there are 100 things on your list.
Right.
Now what I want you to do is go back and think about it a little bit and put the thing that fulfills you the most
right
on top of that list. And try real hard for that not to be money. I'm going to coach you a little bit there, right, Mark?
Well, right. Because
and stuff.
No one on their deathbed has ever said, I wished I would have made more money.
Right.
When you come to the end of it all, that's when you really start getting a good perspective on what's important in life.
Right.
I know for me it's very important to put the things that nurture me, because otherwise I do get burned out. And for instance, I'm one of these people that I get nurtured, maybe for lack of a better word, I don't know, but by being alone. And I need a lot of quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a top priority for me.
So that would be on top of your list, would be some private time.
Very close to the top, yeah. Maybe those sort of tied with family. I always balance. I give family a chunk of time, and I give myself a chunk of time, and they're both equally important. If I don't give myself a chunk of time, I don't have the energy for my family or my business.
It might be reading.
Yes.
It could be reading, and what we're trying to do, folks, is to help you establish some of these priorities, so that you really, really know why you work as hard as you do,
yep.
Why you try as hard as you do, why you do the things that you do in your business. We're going to talk about this some more about this list and some other things that Mark has to talk to us about when we come back after these messages. It's 29 after the hour, and I have a very important question I'm going to ask Mark when we come back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Don't go away. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Mark Allen. He's the author of A Visionary Life, which is an outstanding book I recommend to you, and another book I also recommend, A Visionary Business, or I just should say just Visionary Business is the title, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success, and I recommend you check those out at your bookstore or online. And Mark, I have a profound question for you. What if the hokey pokey is really what it's all about?
That is profound.
What would we do?
It might be. I like the fact that the word pokey is in there, meaning like slow down, relax, and enjoy.
Folks, when you're pondering the universe, ask yourself this question: what if the hokey pokey is really what it's all about?
I like that.
Oh, I thought that was funny. Hey, let's get back to our fulfillment list, and just for a moment, and talk about. I hope you've got your fulfillment list written down there, folks, and all the things that are important to you. That shouldn't take you too long, but you might need a little bit of help getting into some of the things that are really important to you. And Mark, I'm glad you brought up the fact that you need some quiet time. You want some time to yourself.
Yes.
It might be that you like nature and you want to make sure that you have you're able to spend some time in nature. It might be that you like to drive. It might be that you like to fly. It might be something, whatever it is, that's self-fulfilling. And what you want to do is make sure that the business that you're in, that whatever you're doing, helps you accomplish that for yourself.
Right. family.
Right?
Yeah, what is the purpose of your business?
And put those things up on the top of your list. And maybe we have two lists now. Maybe we have a list that's for yourself, and then a list that's maybe involves other people, which would be your family, your friends, your community, your faith, and that sort of thing. Now, one of the things that I know is, and I've contemplated this a long time, and it's something that I think is important for people to realize, in order to do any of these things we're talking about, you have to be conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be aware of the need to do all this.
Right. Often there are people that don't reflect on any of this their entire lives until they're on deathbed. Then suddenly they do, but it's a bit
late. I'm not sure that they even do it then.
Well, yeah. I think you're forced to have a much greater awareness at death when you look back at your life.
Right.
You really put the right things in perspective at that point.
What about, one of the things I know you talk about sometimes is Maslow's pyramid of consciousness. How does that work?
Yes, I remember hearing about this in college, and I remember thinking, this is important stuff. Maslow drew a big pyramid, and on the bottom, he said, what he meant was that we have this level of consciousness within us, but it's also global. People around the world are somewhere on this pyramid. On the bottom, people need shelter and food, the real basics. Once they've got that, they move up the pyramid, and each level is a level of consciousness, but it's also a level of physical reality. They move up to needing security. Once they've got security, food, and shelter, they move up, and they may need therapy of some kind or some kind of recovery
mm-hmm.
from drugs or alcohol or whatever. Once they've got that together, then they move up to education, and they're ready to be educated. Once we're educated, we move to the very top of the pyramid that he called self-actualization, which, of course, is different for every person. But that's a great purpose, as far as I see it, both individually moving up to find our own self-actualization and doing whatever we can to help everyone in the world, or at least a tiny part of some other people, move mm-hmm. up that pyramid.
I didn't remember the second step being therapy.
I might have sort of added that.
Okay.
Over the years.
Because see, I've never needed to be rehabbed.
Right. Well, good for you.
Maybe just for a hamburger. Maybe too many hamburgers or something like that. But
a lot of people need some kind of therapy just because a lot of people have kind of a weak self-image.
Yeah.
And a good therapist will really strengthen and encourage a person's self-image and give them a lot of confidence. But education does that.
But and doesn't consciousness do that too, though, Mark?
Yes.
I mean, the more conscious you are of yourself, and the more you sort of focus inward a little bit, aren't you? I'm not saying that I couldn't use some therapy, but and I have visited with a therapist before. I don't mind admitting that myself.
Me too.
But the thing is that a lot of therapy, and maybe I don't do a very good job, but I like to think that a lot of it is what I do for myself just by being conscious of what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think that's good. Good therapy helps us focus on our own unique strengths and abilities. And I was thinking the other day that analogy of the half-empty, half-full glass.
Yep.
The successful entrepreneur is always looking at the half that's full, mm-hmm. saying, I can do this, I have this ability, I have this and that. All the skeptics out there and the successful person's own doubts and fears are focusing on what's empty. Yeah, well, you really don't have the education, you don't have any money, you don't have this and that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to overcome. And we overcome that by always looking at that half-full part.
Right.
And that ties right into fulfillment, what we're talking about. It's not only business success and lots of money in the bank. In fact, we realize when we have it, it does not make you happy.
One of the things that I want us to talk about for a little bit, and we're going to have to take a break in a few seconds here, and we'll talk about it more when we come back, and that is having the ability, learning how to live in the moment. Earlier in a previous show, I talked with Jack Harbour, and we were talking about salesmanship, and we were talking about making sure as a salesperson that you don't get too far ahead of your customer. And I made the comment, as we're going to talk to Mark, be in the moment with that customer. But we need to learn how to be in the moment with ourselves, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want you to focus on when we come back. Help us understand how to be in the moment, how to live in the present, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves. Because I think that's where some of our problems lie. 40 After. We're going to be right back with Mark Allen, the author of A Visionary Life and the other book, Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 44 After. Thank you for joining us. I want to remind you that coming up in some of the shows ahead, Russ Brown is going to be joining us to talk to us some more about some of the steps in buying and selling a business. And also, Marguerite Kirk is going to be back with us to talk to us about the Ten Commandments of Small Business, which is the title of her book. Sarah Calvert is going to be back with us later in the week to talk to us about some of the legal aspects to your small business. Ellen Frankenberg is going to be joining us to help us understand how to manage our businesses and our families. And she's a family counselor to small business. Also later in the week, Beverly Williams will join us to talk to us about home-based business issues. And Joan Pride, senior editor now with the Kiplinger Letters, will be with us later in the week. Right now we're talking with our good friend Mark Allen, the author of Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success, and his newer book, A Visionary Life. Both of these are available in bookstores. They're available online and at this 800 number. Go ahead, Mark.
1-800-97-BOOKS or 1-800-972-6657.
And if they go there and order them from you, do they get a little bit of a discount? I didn't know whether you were offering this. They're $12.95. That's pretty darn low already.
Right. I think from Amazon they do, and maybe they could talk me into it. You could talk me into a show special or something.
tell Mark that you heard him on the show, and maybe he'll feel compelled to give you a little bit of a discount.
Right, we'll do a 20% discount.
All right, I like that. Good for you. See, folks, I work hard for you. I work hard for you on this show. Let's talk about being in the moment, in the present. This is something that is so hard for us to do. Mark, you've joined us on the show before, and you've just drilled into our heads that we had to plan, we had to set goals, we had to write a business plan. We've talked on and on about how you wrote a 5-year business plan, and it took you 10 years to fulfill it and all that. And then now we're saying, wait a minute, you have to live in the present.
Yeah,
that's a contradiction there.
Yes, it is. It's a big contradiction. But I've come to see there's this wonderful word, polarity. It's not a contradiction. It's a polarity where both sides are equally important. It's vitally important to get very clear what we want in the future and to get a map, which is called a business plan, to get there. And yet, on the other hand, it's essential to live in the moment because that is where all our happiness and all our fulfillment is. We're just publishing this great book called The Power of Now. It's been a bestseller in Canada. And it's just shipping this week, The Power of Now, one of the most inspiring books I've ever read, that over and over gets to this point saying, you know, our happiness is not in the future, and it's certainly not in the past. It's only in the present moment.
So just how do we manage this polarity? How do we prevent this conflict between what we want and what we have to do to get what we want?
Well, I know in the great classic book, Creative Visualization, that we published years ago, Shakti puts it wonderfully where she has people clearly imagine what they want and then let it go. She even says, surround it in a pink bubble and let it go.
Now tell us who Shakti is.
Shakti Gawain wrote a book called Creative Visualization that's become a classic. It's now used by athletes and business people and all over the world. We sold 3 million in the U.S. alone.
A pink bow.
A pink bubble.
Bubble.
Pink bubble. So she has.
Could we have a? Could guys have a little different color bubble? Could we have like a blue bubble?
Sure.
Or
guys can have.
I feel much better now.
She likes pink because it's supposed to be aligned with your heart.
Ah.
But it can be any color. But I just love that image of. So she has people really clearly imagine and write down what they want. Really put out what they want, but then sort of surround it in something and let it go and come back to the present moment. And you do this process over and over and over, so you're going to both sides of that apparent contradiction, which is really a polarity. So you are clearly putting out what you want. You're making a plan for it, and you're taking the first steps. Every day you take a step toward it, but you're also letting it go and being in the present moment,
mm-hmm.
not being obsessed. I disagree with Napoleon Hill in the his classic book, Think and Grow Rich. He says it has to become a single burning obsession. To me, that sounds awfully obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very good to make it a single, very clear goal that you want to attain a certain level of business success. But you have to also let that goal go and just be here in the present moment.
Well, you can have a, you can make a commitment, a very strong commitment, without being obsessed.
Right. Right.
And because obsessed, I agree with you. See, that's the, what I, that's how I define the difference between being motivated and working hard and being a workaholic. I mean, I've had people who accuse me of being a workaholic before, and I don't like that term, and I don't appreciate it when they call me that, because to me, a workaholic forsakes everything
right
in favor of their goal.
Right.
And including your health and your family and your spiritual well-being.
That's it.
And to me it is possible to not forsake those things and to be successful.
Yes, exactly. It's, to me, the thing that defines a workaholic or an alcoholic or any other aholic is if that thing is creating problems in your life.
Yeah.
If your work creating problems with your relationships, then you got a problem to deal with.
When we come back, folks, we're going to get Mark to talk to us about money and the polarity of money and the contradiction therein. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Mark Allen, our good friend, the author of A Visionary Life and Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. Stay with us, please. We are back at 54 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you've been with us today. Our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Be sure to check that out, especially some of the new stuff we've got coming out. And get ready, because the new look of our website is going to be available very shortly, just in maybe a couple of weeks or so. Lots of new stuff that I'm excited about. Mark Allen is our guest, and we're talking about how to have a visionary life and how to be happy by living in the moment while you are working hard in your business and balancing all of that and making sure that you have the right definition of what success is. And as I've said before, in my opinion, success is not about stuff. And one of the things that is stuff that we have to deal with every day is money, right, Mark?
Right, undeniably true. I remember my first business book I read, the opening sentence was something like, a successful business is defined by being profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, I thought, that's not exactly true. You need to be profitable, but it's just the analogy I thought of is, that's like saying a successful life means our hearts keep pumping blood through our bodies.
You're a troublemaker even then, weren't you?
Right. And I knew nothing about business, and I was arguing with the teacher.
That's funny.
But to me, it's true. Like, we know there's more to life than just staying alive.
Mm-hmm.
But that, and money is what keeps a business alive. Money is the blood of the body of a business and has to keep pumping through that business.
My audience has heard me say before with other guests that profit is the queen of business, but cash is king.
Hmm.
Now, how do we keep all that? How does my audience hear me driving that into their brain and then hear you and I say that you know, money shouldn't be that important?
Right. Well, it is a contradiction, or I like the term polarity, because we do need to deal with money. It's essential we deal with money in our business, in our lives. We have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ideally we should learn to master it and make it really work for us and have lots of it and be very successful with it.
Right.
On the other hand, money has nothing whatsoever to do with what is valuable in life. It will never make us happy. What makes us happy is learning to let go of our expectations and dreams and be in the moment. It's always the present moment that makes us happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the future or past.
I like the way you use the word. I've just been contemplating your concept of the difference between, or using the concept of polarity rather than contradiction. When you think of contradiction, you think of one of them is a negative. One of them, we need to get rid of one of those.
Right.
One of these two issues, one of them needs to be gotten rid of because it's contradictory, whereas polarity assumes that there's room in your universe for both of those.
Yeah. Yes.
And you have to deal with both of them in a different way.
Exactly. They're opposites, and yet both deserve total attention and even mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And even a lot of it, in the Chinese, you know, their yin-yang symbol, they're really into polarities.
Right.
They say that each polarity contains within itself the seed of the other. So they're apparently exact opposites, yet they also include each other.
Yeah. One of the things that we're going to have to wrap this up, Mark, as we move into the end of the hour. One of the things I want to do, when you come back next time, I want you to talk to us about what you call the 10% solution, which is a way of giving to yourself and giving to others. And you've also got a list of books and resources that you'd like to recommend that people focus on. And when you come back, I'd like to go into some of those.
Excellent.
Can we do that next time?
I would love to do that.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for doing a good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Mark Allen, ladies and gentlemen, he's our good friend. He's the author of Visionary Business and A Visionary Life. I've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.